Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Advisor. I am Lisa Urbanski, co-host of the show, and today we're cracking open a vault of possibility with a man who has spent 3 decades proving that human potential is truly limitless. So, Joseph Gyanpapa, a professional speaker, self-empowered specialist, and former stand-up comic. He blends research-based strategy with laugh-out-loud storytelling to show audiences like you how to flip the switch from I wish to watch me. You might know him as the author of What I Can, I Will, or What I Will, I Can. I'm sorry. His bite-sized bestseller, hailed as the Bible of self-help for its straight-to-the-point tools that train the subconscious and turn uniqueness into rocket fuel for success. I'm so excited to introduce him to you guys. Before I do, I want to say thank you to Spreaker and iHeartRadio. And I also want to thank our fans, our listeners, and everybody out there that is listening. Please do not forget to like and subscribe before you leave today. We are going to talk about the power within, aren't we? Nice to see you, Joseph. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate it. By the way, my last name is Gyanpapa, soft G. I only say that
Oh, what
because
did I
the kids,
say?
when I
Did I
used to
say
teach,
Jai?
when I taught school, it was hard for the kids to pronounce my last name, so they used to call me Mr. G. So
Mr.
so
G.
I've been going by that label for quite a while, Mr. G.
I like that, Mr. G. That's your new name for me, for sure. So, my gosh, you've written 3 books. You were in comedy. What inspired all of this to take a turn and try and empower people to reach their goals?
Well, basically, Lisa, first of all, I come from a large Italian family, a family of 11, 9 kids. So we all kind of had to help one another to get through things. And it was really, really good to do that. If somebody got depressed, the rest of us would rally around and kind of build that person up. When I came to Nevada and finished my degrees, I became a teacher and I worked specifically with at-risk kids. And it was really sad to see some kids 10, 11 years old basically giving up on themselves, thinking they were nothings. And to me, that is so sad because it is completely 180 degrees opposite of what we are. We are everything. We are so powerful. And these kids just saw themselves as worthless. So I devoted my life to working with them. Later on, I opened a private practice. I had a private practice for 10 years, working with people, developing change of their subconscious. I was going to finish my doctorate working on the brain and changing the subconscious. We had phenomenal successes with people because our subconscious basically controls us. If we can change that, we can change our life.
Yeah, I completely agree and hear what you're saying. It sounds so simple, but it's not.
Exactly. It's quite hard because we are in life exactly where we chose to be at this point in time. Everything is conditioned. We have created the life that we live in now, and it didn't happen overnight. We are a product of years and years of conditioning. And so to change that conditioning, we have to kind of reset or reprogram the subconscious.
I can tell you one thing, Mr. G. When I learned that everything that I've done and everything that happened to me was my doing, that was a big awakening. I was like, ah, yes, everything has happened because I've done this to myself. That was life-changing, but what a pill to swallow. It's like taking full responsibility for everything in my life and learning from that one moment. So what was your moment where you understood that, and then how did you move from there?
Pardon, say that again, please. It's having a little trouble here getting your audio.
Yeah, so what was your moment where you realized that your life was a product of your own thoughts and your mind and the conditioning? When you realized that, and how did that propel you forward?
Well, a lot of times, I don't want to get into a whole big thing with racism and all that kind of stuff, but I was in an area at one time where we were kind of looked down upon as kind of a being of a large, big family and everything, and we didn't have the advantages that a lot of the other kids had and everything, and so a lot of kids would say things like, "You're just a loser," this type of thing. And I'd look in the mirror and I'd say, "No, I'm not a loser. What's wrong with me? I have just as much chance as anybody else." And that kind of spurred me on. And I'd get a little win here and there. And before I knew it, I found myself kind of being almost a leader with the kids. And I used comedy kind of as the grease to make the wheels go around. And I learned at an early age that we can basically do anything we choose to do. It's up to us.
I love that. So, why don't we teach the audience then? What are some of the steps that you would suggest they use in order to reprogram the subconscious mind?
Well, basically, first of all, we have to break the habits that we're in at the moment if we don't like them. Everything, like I say, is from the subconscious. It's really fascinating. I was going to finish my doctorate working with the pre-programming and stuff, and I found out that during the 60s, during the Cold War, the Russians were way ahead of us in their research about the mind. And after the Cold War kind of ended, they shared everything with us, and it was really fascinating because one of the key things that they found was that when we're born, we come in with a programmed set of mind of our mouth and our ears. Whatever we say with our mouth goes in our ear and programs us. And they found out, first of all, that we have no two voices on the face of this earth that are exactly alike. Your voice is completely unique unto you. If they did a recording, let's say of 500 voices that everybody said sound like you, and it was like, let's say you could record Pick Up the Book, and they record that with 499 other people, and they scramble it, and you're sitting there listening to the playback, your voice, as soon as you hear your voice, you'll perk up. Your subconscious will get alerted because, as I said, there are no two voices exactly alike. So the Russians found out that whatever goes into our ear with our particular voice tends to program us. And whether we realize it or not, especially here in the States, the average person here in the States, about 90% of us tend to program ourselves to fail every day of our lives. And that's phenomenal because if you think about it with the subconscious has no sense of humor. It can't think. It doesn't think. It's not part of its capacity. It doesn't know right from wrong. It doesn't know a joke from reality. All it knows is whatever comes in, it programs it. So even if you're making a joke, it will tend to program it. You could say, "I don't know. I'm such a klutz. I trip over my own 2 feet." Before you know it, if you say that enough, you're going to start to become a klutz for really, because we program ourselves without even realizing it. And that, I
There's
think, is
so much power in words, so much power.
exactly. I think it's absolutely fascinating to find this kind of stuff out because, my goodness, you don't think about it when you just say something as a quip or something, but I tell people, watch what you say. Because you don't realize what you're doing. You actually are programming yourself.
Wow. You know what I'm thinking as you're speaking is doing a voice clip to myself later and then listening to it before bed as I'm falling asleep of all these wonderful things that I want to program into my own mind, but it makes so much sense.
Bingo. You
What
know,
we tell ourselves, right, is what we're going to get back.
exactly. That brings up a neat point. I told you I had a private practice for 10 years. The majority of my private practice involved, first of all, finding out what really bothered my client or whatever, and then I would write affirmations, positive affirmations to change a lot of that. And then I would set up a recorder and they would record with their own voice the affirmation. And the Russians say to repeat everything 3 times. There's something magical about 3 times. Because, for example, if you take the affirmation, "I am a beautiful person," if you say it 3 times, the first time or so, you're not going to really believe it. You're just saying words. I'm a beautiful person. Second time, it's I'm a beautiful person. And by the third time, you kind of buy into it. I'm a beautiful person. So three times seems to be the magic number. So I would have them record each affirmation three times on a text in those, or a little cassette. In those days, remember we had the little cassettes? They would fill
Yeah.
up a cassette, and then I would have them listen to the cassette at least once every day for 30 days. The Russians tell us that if we listen to something for 30 days, it starts to become an imprint on our subconscious. It creates a synapse, basically, so that it becomes like a habit or a true belief. So that's pretty much the system I used. And it was amazing the changes I saw in some of my clients. Some drug recoveries. I worked with abused women. I worked with, as I mentioned, at-risk kids, and to see complete changes. And it was wonderful, and it was re so neat to see, because a lot of times the people couldn't see the forest from the trees in the middle of the change and everything. A lot of times they would be changing without them even noticing it. The way they would walk straighter, taller, this type of thing, and it was really beautiful. But they didn't really realize it because it was happening slowly.
That's beautiful. So how can we start? I know, it's easy to talk the talk. There's a lot of people out there that are teachers and healers, and they know the science. They know how to speak trauma. They know how to meditate, but they don't embody the change that they wish to see. So what would you suggest that people start doing in order to start freeing themselves from their own minds?
Well, I think the first key is to realize that we are such powerful human beings. In A Course in Miracles, and Nelson Mandela, for his inaugural speech, he said, our greatest fear is not that we're powerless, but that we are more powerful than we can ever imagine. We come into this world prepackaged. That's what a lot of us forget. We come into this world totally unique and loaded with all of this potentiality. We can do virtually anything that we choose to set our mind to, but a lot of people don't realize that. And I think that's the biggest flaw in our lives, if you will. A lot of us fail to believe in ourselves. It all starts with believing that we are a somebody. I always say there is no such thing as an insignificant human being. It simply doesn't exist. We are all so very, very special. Even the homeless, the guy on the sidewalk, the guy, begging for money on the street, every one of us came into this world prepackaged. We are successes waiting to happen, and we have to realize that. We have everything we need inside of us. We don't need somebody else to help us or anything at the moment. We can do so much on our own because we have all the ingredients inside.
Yes, everyone is so uniquely individual. And I think part of the trouble that we have in our society is the comparison game that people play. All of the material world that people watch, they look, they go on social media, they see these ideal, quote unquote, ideal lives, and then it starts to eat at their confidence, makes them feel less than. So in my humble opinion, I would say, the comparison game is a dangerous game.
Oh, absolutely. I blame so much on Madison Avenue because that's basically how they can sell products, by getting us to try to be like the person they show us or whatever. I can remember in the old days, like with Dial soap, they say things like, don't you use Dial? Don't you wish everybody did? And you say to yourself, no, I don't. I guess I'm a failure, or,
Right.
L'Oreal hair color or something, because you're worth it. If you don't use that, then evidently you're not worth it. So we have to watch that because it's very slick. Like I say, that's the entire premise that Madison Avenue is built on, to get you to emulate or be like another person. And that's where our frustration comes in, because it is literally impossible to be like somebody else, because we're not. We are totally unique. And that doesn't make us weird, it makes us absolutely special. We are a gift to this world, and we have to realize that.
The commercial that came to mind after you said that was the Lever 2000 for all 2000 parts. Is that how it went? I'm thinking of the Lever 2000 commercial for some reason.
Yeah.
Just a silly thought.
Isn't it sad though? I mean, obviously, if we want to try to be like them, we'll buy that product and everything and everything. But no matter how hard we try, we can't be like them, because we're not. That doesn't make us weird. It makes us very, very special. And we have to understand that and appreciate it. And we have to take worth in who we are.
Yes. So tell us about the books that you wrote.
Well, my first book, actually, in 2009, I lost my son, and it was very hard on me. He was my best friend, and I used to walk the mountains. I live out here in Nevada with all the mountains and everything, and I used to walk the mountains, kind of shouting at the moon, wondering why, what's going on, and everything. And every day I would walk 5 miles, sometimes 10 miles. And the more I walked, I started getting little inklings of sayings and things that kind of bring me up a little bit. And I start carrying a notepad with me and a pencil. And every now and then I stop and I jot down a little something that came across my mind. And before I knew it, after about a year, I had this stack of notes. And I decided one day, sat down at my desk and kind of collated them all, put them together, and thus came my first book. I realized, as a friend of mine from Ireland said one time, if we wake up and we're breathing, we still have things to do. And as I mentioned, because we're prepackaged and have all this potentiality, we are here to help everybody and affect each other. If every human being in the earth became all they were supposed to be, what a phenomenal world this would be. But as Zig Ziglar says, one of the greatest motivators, he said, "It's so sad that sometimes people go to their graves with their songs unsung." And you think, how sad, how sad. All that beautiful potential in the person. Maybe the person could have written a great aria, maybe painted a beautiful picture, maybe done something great. They didn't do anything. Maybe they just chose to work in a warehouse and that was their life. You think, all this potential wasted. So unless we try, it's going to go to waste. So I tell people, give it a shot. Do it anyway. You're going to fail at first. You're going to fall on your face at first. But keep going, because you're going to make it one time. And that's the one that counts.
Yeah, exactly. Get up, keep going. I mean, you don't get big muscles by going to the gym one time, right? The more you
Exactly.
do things, the bigger your muscles are going to get.
Exactly. I tell people when I give my lectures and things, I tell them, think about walking. To me, that's a phenomenal thing. It really fascinates me, because when we were, like, let's say, a year old, year and a half, 18 months, whatever, we were this little bitty thing, had this little bitty head. We don't have the big, magnificent brain we have now. Just this little thing. And we saw people walking around and we said, "Hey, that's pretty cool. I think I'll try that." And we tried it, and we got up and we fell down and hit our chin. We got up, we chin skinned our knees or our cheek or whatever. Did we give up? No. We kept going until one day, son of a gun, we were walking. And I think that's phenomenal. After my lectures, people come up, line up, and we shake hands and talk and everything. I had never had in my entire career a person crawl up to me. And I say, "What are you doing down there?" "Oh, I don't walk. I tried it once. I fell down, hurt myself. I don't like it." No, literally, we saw something we wanted. We wanted to do it, and we did it. That's magical to me. What happened to that spirit now? It's still inside of us, but we don't use it. Now we come up with a million and one excuses why we can't do this or do that. Oh, maybe I could when I was younger, but now I'm older, I can't do it. Or this, whatever the excuse. And how sad. Because just like when we were little, we need to see something we want and go after it and do it. And that's what life's all about. We have the potential inside of us to get there. We are all successes waiting to happen.
Yeah, it sounds like an unlearning. Sounds like
It,
forgetting
yes.
all of the programming and just starting over.
Oh, there you go. You hit the nail on the head. Exactly. And like I say, that's why the core is to believe in yourself and your potential. If you think you're worthless, you are. You know, Henry Ford said, "What do you think, you're right or you think you're wrong?" You're absolutely right. As we think, so we are.
So, what would you tell the audience? What are some simple things that they can do every day to start believing in themselves?
Well, number one, I would like to follow my mom's advice. She always told us kids, and we didn't have a lot, obviously, but she told us, she said, "You'll always find a helping hand at the end of your own arm." So I would
Nice.
say, don't rely on other people. Don't sit there and wait and see yourself as a victim. You are filled with power. Just set your sights on what you want and go for it. Start out. Action is where it's at. You can't reach your goal by sitting and doing nothing.
Yes. I love
And
that. We definitely, as humans, we look for external validation way too much. And I spoke
oh.
about that this morning, and I said I used to chase these ideas and feel like I didn't belong anywhere because I was looking for validation from everybody, but no one could quite understand me. And it was until I realized that the answer was inside of myself that I use that energy to feel whole, right? And
Exactly.
until you feel whole, then you can make decisions from your heart based on the things that you need.
You hit the nail on the head. Very good. Absolutely, absolutely right. You know, unfortunately, for some reason, we tend to check the past and use that as a barometer for the future. And that's not true at all. The past does not equal the future in any way, shape, or form. The French have a real neat saying, kind of a riddle, that says, think of a little lake that's got lily pads on it. And these lily pads double every day, totally double every day. Now, if this particular day the lake is half filled with lily pads and it doubles every day, how long will it take for the lake to be completely covered? And the answer is just one more day. But yet we say, well, it took 2 years for it to be half covered. That's going to take another 2 years. No. So we have to realize the past does not equal the future. You know, when I taught school, I used to talk about a guy that went in the army, a lieutenant, and he came out a private. He opened two businesses, went bankrupt with both businesses. He ran for politics once with the local government and he failed. He kept going again until one day he ran for politics and won. Abraham Lincoln. I mean, if you follow this guy's life story halfway through, you'd say, what a loser. This guy had so much negative stuff in his life, but he didn't quit. You know, one time when I worked for a corporation, I used to be a consultant for different companies. One time I was asked to kind of put together a little dossier, a little packet of winners across the world, whether they were sports or show business or whatever, entrepreneurs, what comp to find commonalities in all of them, why they were so successful. And I did that with great zeal, you know, because I was interested myself. And I worked on it for about a year. And finally, I came up with the results. And my results were phenomenal. Basically, what do you think some of the qualities were in a winner? Just what they.
Resilience, positivity.
Yeah, exactly. Those were their tenacity, those kind of things. But you know what I found more than anything else? Every single one of a successful person had the same thing in their past, a string of failures. Not a failure here and a failure there, but a string of failures. It was absolutely phenomenal. You know, I'm from Chicago originally, and in Chicago, horse racing was a real big thing. And there was a jockey, world famous, Eddie Arcaro, all-time winning jockey, purse winner, won more money than anybody else, blah, 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 all that stuff. Great guy. But what people don't realize is that Eddie Arcaro lost his first 49 races. Now, to me, that's really interesting because can you imagine what was going through this guy's mind when he got on a horse the 50th time? I mean, can you imagine
Yeah.
someone saying, "Well, Eddie, have you ever won?" "Well, no, I haven't." You know, but he knew inside of him he had what it takes to be a good jockey. He knew inside of him that one day he was going to make it. So he got on that horse and he won. And from then on, the rest, as they say, is history. We have to know that the prize is at the end, the light at the end of the tunnel. We will make it. We have to make it. We're prepackaged as long as we don't give up. That's very, very important. We have to keep going and keep trying. Failure is nothing but a learning experience to move on, because next time we try it, we have more information, we have more knowingness, and that's important.
So important. So tell everybody where they can find your website, and your website has your books, right? So talk
Yes,
about that.
I have three different books on there. I even have book packages where they can get the whole set for a reduced amount and everything. The website is what I will, I can. Dot com. What I will, I can. Dot com. And I think that's important to say that statement over and over. What I will, I can. Dot com. And all the information is on there, all my books and background credentials and everything else.
Beautiful. What would you like to leave the audience with today after our conversation?
Well, if they remember nothing else, they should remember that there is no such thing as an insignificant human being. Every one of us is a gift to this planet, and that we come into this world pre-packaged with all the success elements that we need to make it to whatever we want to be.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yes, amazing. We hope you will come back.
Thank you, definitely.
And to our audience, you're worth it. Go to the website. We were going to link Mr. G's website in the show notes for you to have easy access to all of these amazing tools that he has written and provided so you can too. Feel your best and believe in yourself. I know I'm going to record myself before bed tonight and listen to myself validate these things. But until next time, I'm Lisa Urbanski with The Advisor. Bye for now.